Put your hands up, I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
No matter what I see,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
No matter what I feel,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
I stand upon your word,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Hey,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Two more times we sing. I put it all.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
One more time we sing.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
There are people who woke up this morning with us that are no longer here with us. And here we are. It is the grace of God that keeps us. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for life. We're thankful for health. We're thankful, Lord, for peace, prosperity, favor. We are thankful for all things, recognizing, O God, that no matter what it is that's happening in our lives in this very moment, your grace is sufficient. You, the God who caused and made it possible for Peter to walk on water, a situation that in the natural was an impossibility, in your grace, you will cause us to do the impossible as if it were just that easy. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome love. Supercharge this atmosphere with your miracle-working power. Restore our souls. Do for what? Do for us what no man can do. And help us be everything you desire us to be for your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise God. We are in the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter. Proverbs 13, and suppose we are up to at this point in Proverbs, the 14th verse. Proverbs 13, we ended up at verse 14. Hallelujah. Well, let us pick it up from verse 13 and then head down the road. In Proverbs 13:13, it says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed." That is very straightforward. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. When God gives us his word, it is to help us. It is to protect us. And when we despise it, the result is destruction. The word of God says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but is the way that ends in destruction. See it this way. You have a child, any age, doesn't matter. And he's been taught not to run around on the main highway. And he does it. And he does it again. And it seems like nothing is happening. Until one fateful day, he's trying to run across that road, trips on himself, and a car is coming, can't stop. That's the end of it. People play Russian roulette with the word of God. You know, if you remember, God spoke to Moses and said, listen, the day you guys start worshiping other gods, it's going to stop raining. There's going to be dew. It's going to be major drought. They started sinning. Nothing happened. Everything seemed to be okay. Until Elijah comes to the palace and says to Ahab, there's not going to be rain or dew in this land according to my word. Walks out. And that was it. 3.5 years, no rain, no dew. Many times people despise the word of God. They say, old-fashioned. Doesn't matter. You can do whatever it is you want to do. It's okay. And not only is this in the commonplace amongst God's people, sometimes it comes from the pulpit. There are times of people have sent me clips of messages that some pastors are preaching, and you shake your head and say, this is not happening. No, he didn't just say that. He did not. Even the biggest sinner knows that what the guy is just preaching is wrong. They despise the word of God. And the end of it is destruction. But on the converse part, it says, but he that feareth the commandment, he that fears the commandment, he that reverences, respects the command, shall be rewarded. There's a reward. Whether it be in this lifetime or in the lifetime after this, there will be a reward. Nobody is going to say to God, you owe me. I did this and you owe me. You did not stay true to your word. Something will happen. When we obey the word of God, God says, this is what I say about this issue. He says, I'll reward you. No sweat, I'll reward you. I have the capacity to do it. It's all nonsense. All the preacher wants is this from me, wants that from me. I don't buy that. That's unacceptable. Well, there is a passage of scripture that we read in verse 11. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Those are spiritual laws. So you despise that and you get wealth by any possible way, it's going to come down to nothing. It's going to empty out. And the guy who is just slow and steady, it's like the story of the hare and the turtle. Yeah? Tortoise keep on coming. Then he takes off. And the final wake up, he wakes up and he dashes for the finishing line only to find the tortoise has crossed already. All that capacity gone to naught. I was at a barber shop maybe about 6 months ago, when a man came in and started talking about people that he used to know here in the city. They were so flashy, nice car, nice this, nice clothes, that all these girls, two on this arm and two on that arm. And they seemed to be having it. He says, but you know what? Now they are nowhere. Same people, nowhere. And those that were not engaged in that vanity, but were just slow and steady working. And now the ones that have the cars, now have the homes, now are happily married and have children. That guy, he's got all kinds of diseases. And he spent all his money on that. Doesn't have a home anymore. It's on the street. It's a law. And the next statement is about hope deferred. Make it the heart sick. Now, what the Lord is saying to us is so, there's a whole scope that this whole statement is covering. But in context of the previous statement, he's saying you're working hard and looks like nothing is happening. Makes you sick. What am I doing all this for? Why am I working so hard? Why this? Why that? It says, there is a reward. But when this desire cometh, it's going to be a tree of life. It's going to keep on reproducing. Every month, it's reproducing. Something new, something fresh. And that's what we need to pursue after, obeying the word of God. You know, I was sharing this afternoon, we had a recording. I thank God for our team here that availed themselves to come help me again and again to get the word across. I was talking about, you know, something I talked about on Sunday. God says, this is going to happen. God says, go to that well, gather all the people there, and you get there and there's no water. And it's so easy to get discouraged. But the response of God's people was that they began singing. And water burst forth. They've been walking 3 days in the wilderness. There's no water anywhere. Finally, they see water. They get to water. And they go for it. The next thing is they're spitting it out. Because the water was bitter. Sometimes, it looks like what God said is not what's happening. Just give it time. And you find out it's a good thing to trust in God. Shortcuts end up becoming the long walk. you're looking for shortcuts all the time, you're going to entangle yourself. So we must trust God by not despising his word, because despising his word brings about destruction. But he that reverences, feareth the commandment to make certain he obeys it, shall be rewarded. The law, or the word of the wise, is a fountain of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. In what way? To depart from the snares of death. When we follow the dictates of men and the mindset of men, it only leads to death. Not just physical death, but the real bottom line of what death is, which is separation. Separation from that which sustains. That's what death is. So, if your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. Because it's no longer in the body. When your spirit leaves God, you're dead. Because God is the one who sustains you. And the statement here is this: when you follow the wisdom of God, whether it comes directly from the Bible or from a man, it says it's only going to lead to life. It's going to lead to life. It's a fountain. It keeps on bubbling. It produces after its kind. Now, the law of the wise must be the law of fearing God. It's important to understand that. So when we're talking about wisdom here, we're talking about hearing the word of God from somebody who fears God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So the person must have the fear of God, has a fear of the word, and has experienced to some extent some reward of some sort or whatever, but it is the wise word. Just do the right thing. Now, the wise word sometimes doesn't come across as wise. When the Lord says to somebody, if somebody slaps you on this cheek, turn the other cheek. I say, I don't think so. I don't think so. You smack me on this side, I'm going to smack you back harder so you don't smack me again. That's how wars start. Someone asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. What? Ask you for your shirt, give him your coat too. What? How is that wise? That's foolish. No, not if you are following his thinking. He's thinking of, you smack me here, I take that authority from you and say, smack this side. And by so doing, I'm saying to you, you don't have what it takes to take me out. Go a mile, I go 2 miles. Ah, you don't have what it takes to wear me out. You want my shirt? I give you my coat also. You don't have what it takes to make me naked. God is in charge of my life. That's a different kind of wisdom. It doesn't sound like wisdom, but it is. It is a kind of wisdom that Nelson Mandela used and overcame apartheid and did not allow himself to be bitter. Same kind of wisdom that Gandhi used in India. And changes took place. Now, people did not continue in that wisdom, and so they have the same continued issues. Martin Luther King used the same kind of wisdom. And it keeps on bubbling. But when people don't continue in the wisdom of the wise and get to the place where they think they know another way, that's when we've got issues. And today there are people who are forging persecution. Just the other day, saw some lady, black lady, said they put a noose to hang her, and she was the one who put it there. I think Prince and her DNA are in the rope. But what are you fighting for? Emancipation. Well, I'm not saying that there's no racism, but you don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to be a Smollett. So these guys, they beat me up. These Nigerian guys beat me up. Okay. Find out that he bribed them to do it. That's a foolishness. People coming up with their own ideas to manufacture what is not there. What God says to us is do the right thing. Have a fear of God. Do it the right way. If there's something wrong, it will come to the open. You don't have to make it up. The law, the word of the wise, is a fountain of life. Drink from that fountain. Don't muck up the waters. Drink from the fountain of life, wisdom. How was it done before? Why was it done that way? What does God's word have to say about this situation? How do I handle it? Some of you know, at least I blubbed. I think I was preaching one message one day I said, I think this message is just for me. Because there were some serious issues I needed to deal with. And my instinct said, do it this way. And there's nothing wrong with the way I was going to do it. But then I was hearing the Lord saying, no, don't do it that way. I could go to the Bible and find the verse that would support my instinct. Say, yes, the word of God says this. But then I hear the other side, and God says, no, not that way. Do it this way. following the wisdom of God will always get you out of trouble. Verse 15 says, good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding giveth favor. When you have an understanding on any matter, on any issue, it causes people to listen to you. Give attention to what you have to say, because you understand that. And your understanding is proven by the fact that no matter which way they ask the question, you are able to maneuver it to the right place. And when people know that you have an understanding on a subject, they come to you. They'll listen to you. And so it's imperative that we get understanding. In all of your getting, it says, get wisdom. In another passage, it says, in all of your getting, get understanding. Those are paramount. And to do so, you have to acquire knowledge. The three legs of the stool in Proverbs, if you're going to understand Proverbs, is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In fact, if you pick out everything that has to do with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you got it. And so we've talked about wisdom, we've talked about understanding, and now here, verse 16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Every smart person dealeth with knowledge. You got to have knowledge. Know. In essence, don't be ignorant. If you're going to deal with anything in life, acquire the knowledge necessary to have a voice on the matter. Know what you're talking about, or people will bamboozle you and make you think something that is not true. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. The last part of verse 15 says, it says, good understanding giveth favor. It gives favor. It says, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Now, it is equating transgression with a lack of understanding. When you don't have understanding, you're going to transgress. And life is going to be hard. The way of the wise, the way of the man who has understanding is not hard. It's the way of the transgressor. If you're a transgressor, be ready to experience hardness of life. It's the law. Now, someone might jump up and say, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Well, grace is having understanding. Grace is having wisdom. Grace is having knowledge. And ignorance will cause you to fall under the weight of the law. I'm going to get away with it. You know how many people have been so foolish that they think they can play Russian roulette and get away with it. And unfortunately, that's where so many people find themselves today. Nothing happened the last time, so it's nothing will ever happen. Well, it's a good thing that Joseph ended up in prison. It looked like his life was hard when Potiphar's wife went after him. And it would seem like that verse was flipped heads down, because he was not a transgressor, but he faced hardness. But the amazing thing about it is that he had good understanding. He had good understanding that he was there to serve. The first thing that we know about him, one of the first things, other than I dreamt a dream, was that the father was sending him to go serve his brothers. He was trusted to serve. And when he gets to Potiphar's house, that's what he did. He had understanding of service. He had understanding of the fear of God. And so he did what he knew. And yeah, got him into trouble, but it got him into prison. But when he gets into prison, he's still doing what he's learned how to do. Serve. He interprets other people's dreams. From being the one who had dreams that needed to be interpreted, now he's interpreting dreams for other people. And he interprets those two dreams. Says to the butler, don't forget me when you get out of here. The butler goes out, forgets him for, I guess, 2 years. It was hard. It didn't look like he that had understanding was getting favor. But just for a short while. Because 2 years in, he's remembered. And it's a good thing that he was remembered 2 years later. Because if he was set free before time, he would have run away from Egypt, tried to find his way back home to his father and mama. Oh, I guess the mom is dead now. So he was papa's boy, not mama's boy. And would have perished with the rest of them. That would have been the end of his story. You mean those 2 years were good stuff? Yes. Because with understanding, now he gets favor, he is a second in command, and in one sense, Pharaoh saw him as number one. He's been dealing prudently with knowledge, doing what he's supposed to do. And finally, there is a reward. We all need to be encouraged by that. Because the reward of the Lord doesn't necessarily come when you think. Abraham is 75 years old. God tells him, you're going to have a son. No son. No son. God is giving me all these promises. Wait a minute. Okay, you're promising me this and you're giving me this. So who's going to enjoy this? Saying that I don't have a son. Is it this servant of mine that's going to get all of this? God says, no, it's you're going to have a son. Turns 100. That's when he finally gets that promised son. In between that, he listens to his wife who says, see that beautiful lady there? Yeah, what about her? Why don't you go with her? And she has a son, that will be ours. The way of the transgressor is hard. And so we had Ishmael. And we still have Ishmael problems. Some 4,000 plus years later. It's not stopping. It's hard. But when we deal with the wisdom of God and are patient, that's the key thing, patience. Not cutting corners. But I got to cut corners. You know, everybody's going past me. Go, shoo, 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 and I'm way back here. I don't know. Maybe I heard wrong. No, you didn't hear wrong. Maybe this, maybe that. No, maybe nothing. Just trust God. That understanding that you trust God will cause favor to come your way. Verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Everyone. But a fool layeth open his folly. What is this one about? The prudent man dealeth with knowledge. There's a passage of scripture where the Jews were crowding the Lord. Everybody's wanting this, wanting that. And they were sort of celebrating him. And the verse says, but Jesus did not give himself to them wholly, completely, because he knew what was in man. Now, that's a remarkable statement because you expect the Lord to give himself completely. He says he didn't, because he knew what was in them. Now, that's what prudent people do. Prudent people don't necessarily show you all their cards. There's some things that they keep to heart. Bible says Mary pondered these things in her heart. There is a place to be very transparent. But even God, Jesus said, nobody knows the time of the return. Only the Father knows that. He's dealing prudently with knowledge. And sometimes God will say, shh, shh. Remember the Lord many times said to his disciples, don't you tell anybody what you just heard now. Don't tell anybody. Keep your mouth shut. Hide that. There are times as you're going through life, there comes a stage in your life where certain information is just for you. It's not for public consumption. Because public consumption becomes a form of pornography. Thus, a fool laid open his folly. What you see is what you got. No, there's a stage in life where you don't see everything and you don't know everything because it's prudent to hold on to that particular knowledge. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Or do I need to explain some more? Okay. May God help us to grow up to that place. It is past the age of innocence. It's the place of maturity. So Paul says, I know a man. And says, I was caught up to the third heavens. And says, and there's some things that I've got to see over there. I don't think I can talk about it. Can't talk about it. So you're dealing with knowledge. Because this class is a class for the mature. As I'm talking to you about that, I'm not, okay, that's perfect example. I was hearing the Lord say something to me, and I was about to blot it out. That information is just for you. Yeah. We embrace. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you. I receive it. God brings us to a place where the enemy doesn't know what's going on. I believe that's part of the reason why he's given us the prayer language. And when God wants to take you to another place, he speaks his language in you and through you. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. A wicked messenger. Who is a wicked messenger? A wicked messenger is a messenger that's not there to truly represent the one that sent him the message. He wants to play games. He wants to control things. As a servant that the boss left to take care of the other servants, and he started maltreating every one of them. Not representing the one that assigned him a wicked messenger. I had somebody that was here with us. He was here with us because God asked me to bring him in. The Lord actually showed me his face. I was driving to Edmonton, somewhere in Saskatchewan. I see this face before me. The Lord says, take care of him. Came home, actually met the man, his family, his church. And I ushered them here. Come be with us. Paid him wages when Mama and I were not getting. Just take care of him. And there was a sister here. That had cancer. Lived close by here. God healed her here. This guy goes to visit. She was an only child. The mother was elderly. And I didn't know it. That lady was not coming back to church. I heard she was in the hospital after about 3 months of not being here, trying to connect, or couldn't. So went to visit at Seven Oaks, got there. What's going on? I'm sick. I know you're sick, but sick of what? The cancer came back. What? This is not supposed to be a portion. What happened? Nothing. And as we're leaving, I said, Pastor, come back. I have to tell you something. What? What do you want to tell me? You know this guy? Yeah, what about him? Came to our house, told my mom and me that we should will our house to him. He said, that's when I got sick. That's how I got here. I said, what? How? How does somebody go and do that? You know what? That lady died. The mother then died. And they changed. They changed the will and given the house to their next door neighbor. That's a messenger that operated wickedly. When your heart is not representing the one that sent you, you will fall into mischief. You will fall into the wrong thing. It's important that we understand that. If you're serving, serve with your whole heart. Because if the enemy has a way to come in there, he'll find a way. And the end of it is something mischievous is going to happen. I can go on and tell you different stories. It is important to be a person of integrity. Somebody that can be trusted. May God be able to trust me and trust you to do the right thing. How do I put this? In our context as a church. Let's say, for example, somebody has an issue and you are representing Mom and I in ministry to them. It's imperative so that you don't fall into a place where mischievous actions take place. You visit the person. Say, Pastor, visited so and so. And this is what we did. We prayed with them and encouraged them. They're going through some stuff. We don't need to know every detail. But just the fact that you reported back says a great deal. But you go and you're visiting people and whatever, and you're not telling anybody. Nobody knows. You know, sometimes that message is going to, some way or the other, come back. What that tells me right away is, is this person representing themselves or representing the work of the Lord here? Are they part of the team or are they doing something else? Nobody knows everything. But even as the church grows, there's got to be a leader over a leader over a leader over a leader. A leader of 100 and a leader of 75 and a leader of 50, a leader of 25, whatever. And each leader reports to the other leader about whatever it is that is going on. So there's accountability. A wicked messenger doesn't have anybody that he's accounting to. It's just about himself dealing secretly, doing whatever it is that he wants to do, any which way he wants to do it. And the end result is something disastrous happens. As a pastor, I know where my limits are. There's certain things I cannot do. I might be the founding pastor, whatever. But there are certain decisions that I cannot just make. I have to consult and say, trying to do this, what do you guys think? What do you think about this? Any ideas? It's important. For many reasons, especially when it has to do with finances. Because if I just arbitrarily just do anything, then I think, I can do whatever it is I want to do, whenever I want to do it. And the next thing I know, I have talked myself into making decisions I don't have any business making. And the devil will be right there to make sure something hits the fan and trouble. You don't do that. Now, prudence makes me not to say everything. For example, let's say we're going through some very serious financial situation. I cannot stand behind the pulpit and start telling everybody about we have this and we have that, we have this and we have that, we have to take care of this and take care of that, so on and so forth. You know what's going to happen at the end of the day? Nobody's listening. You're your own brother. So if I'm going to be on my own on that one, why am I depressing you with information that, you know, if somebody's going to get dirty, let us not all get dirty. So prudence, wisdom will say, certain information, hold off. Now we have this screen in the back of us. Even if we had all the money to purchase it, prudence and wisdom will say, that's a big buck item. Talk about it. You don't just come, go home, and then during the week, I have 100 workers inside this building ripping off all the chairs, ripping off everything, changing everything, and you come on Sunday. What happened to our chair? What happened to the carpet? What is this? Oh, I did it for your good. I did it for your good. It doesn't matter how good it is. We had nothing to, we didn't participate. At that very moment, you've made yourself a wicked messenger because you did not, in the wisdom of God, consider other people. Am I making a point? You're just looking at me. Basically, what I'm saying is, all of this have far-reaching consequences. Because the next statement is this, but a faithful ambassador is health. A faithful ambassador is health. In other words, doesn't make you sick. Rejoices your heart. Now, the same thing I just said about everything changes and you come and everything is done. That same thing can be different if I said to you, when you are leaving the Sunday before, saints, I have a surprise for you. Some things need to change around here. And by next Sunday, you will see what the Lord has done for us. and you come in. Wow. He said something is going to change. Wow, look at all this change. Wow, that's beautiful. Look at that chair. You know what? You had been guided prudently without having all the information poured in, and a decision has been made, and you were aware that something was changing, and now that it changed, ah, this is amazing. Same thing, just a different approach. And I'll wrap up with this. You know, many families break apart simply because they did not know how to communicate what they needed to communicate in the purity, in the excellency of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody, two people are trying to deal with a situation, and the way one person is trying to deal with it is causing friction, just causing problems? They're right for what they're trying to communicate, but how they're communicating it is creating problems. And say, this is so unnecessary. What if you had said it this way? You won't have this problem. Just the way you said it makes all the difference. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. So many things that happen in the lives of believers is not based on it was right or wrong. It's how the heart is speaking. If you were to ask some people, why did this business fall apart? Or why did this marriage fall apart? Or why did you leave the church? Or whatever. They will not have something substantial to say that has any true meaning. Because at some point, they have become the wicked messenger. The wicked messenger because they were not in their hearts connected to what the Father is trying to say. And believe it or not, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's Bible. And so many times there are situations that we pursue and we think we're doing God's business, just like Saul. He says, why are you kicking against the pricks? I'm zealous for you, Lord. He said, no, you got this wrong. Back off. I don't want to be that wicked messenger. A wicked messenger is a messenger that's not representing God righteously or representing his boss in a proper way. When I got back from my trip, I was asking Sister Kristen how it was going, and she said, oh, it's been a tough time. My boss has been away. I've had responsibility for all this stuff. Well, the reason it was tough is because I suppose he wants to represent the bosses properly. If she didn't care, then anything goes. What they come to find is what they're going to find. I'm not going to kill myself trying to take care of everything. It's not my business after all. That's how many times people think. It's not mine. No, it's yours. If you want to have what belongs to you, the word of God says, take care of that which belongs to another person. When I go to a church, I take care of that church like it was mine. What I would not want somebody to come say in my church, to my church members, I'm not going to say it to them. Even if I have a hard prophetic word, I'll go to the pastor and say, Pastor, the Lord is giving me a word. It's a hard word. Do I have you okay? What is that word? This kind of a thing is happening. This kind of a thing is happening. Oh, yeah. Yes. Please go ahead. This is his church. He's given permission to speak behind that pulpit. I must respect his authority. That's been a good representative. If you disrespect his authority, I don't care. It might be my spiritual son. But in that church, he is the authority. So I have to deal with him and whoever it is that's in there in the righteousness of God. And I'll blow everything up and then leave. For the next few years, they're trying to put things together. That's not my role. I think this is a very important verse to think about. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. And in thinking about that, asking God for grace not to be a wicked messenger. God, help me represent you well. Help me to say what you once said and not allow myself to fall into mischief or these people into mischief. Now, the ultimate is that we are messengers of God. So all the illustrations I gave, respect for the pastor, respect for your boss, whatever, all falls under one ultimate point. The boss that we all represent and to whom every knee must bow and every tongue confess is the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if he says, this is what I want you to say right here, right now. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what we're going to talk about. I remember when the Lord told me to do the gold God and gold standard. And I told my spiritual father what I did. He said, "You did what? you did what?" Papa Cerullo is asking me that about me talking about the Freemasons and attacking Freemasons and everybody else. He's asking me, "You did what?" That's when I got scared. I said, "What did I do?" But that's what the Lord said to do. And so there's no fear in that. But if you send yourself, that's a different problem. You've got to follow God ultimately. And may He be glorified, because a faithful ambassador is held. May we be that. Amen. Father, we are thankful for your word. Our prayer and our declaration, Lord, is that we never be that wicked messenger that falleth into mischief, but that all the days of our lives that we'll be faithful ambassadors that are the embodiment of health, that will bring healing to your people. That we are ones who bridge the beginning and the end together and cause hope not to be deferred anymore, because we represent you. As we step out of this place today, may we represent you well. Be glorified in us, Father. We are your ambassadors, and we receive not only the qualification as ambassadors, but the full package of benefits that ambassadors should have. Thank you, Lord, that it is so with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let us honor God with our giving. Amen.